vanuit Brussels Expo op Business AM CyberSec Europe.
Welkom bij Business AM Radio vanop de Expo in Brussel en wel tijdens het CyberSec Europe event. Mijn gasten is een experte in cybersecurity en niet de minste. Leslie Kipling is hier bij ons en zij is lead investigator en forensicator bij Microsoft. Dat en ze is ook chief SO binnen het Cybersecurity Solutions Team, een Microsoft business unit van wereldwijde beveiligingsexperts die beveiligingsoplossingen aanleveren. Welcome, Leslie.
Hey, nice to meet you, Sophie. Thanks for having me.
As an iconic computer, services and IT brand, the story of Microsoft is the story of many legends, not to mention the Beatles versus the Stones-like epic battle between Apple and Microsoft about who has the coolest, the fastest, or the best stuff. For today, let's say Apple has won many battles, but maybe not the war. But how about cybersecurity? Microsoft's reputation today depends on both the quality of its product or service and how securely that product can be used online and mobile. How many times a day does a Microsoft product or service get attacked worldwide on average?
Well, probably too numerous to count, really, Sophie. We like to say that we are the second most attacked entity on the planet after the White House. And we obviously look at some of the figures that would support those claims. And I think we talk about the fact that we have the third largest network in the world. So, you know, again, lots of opportunity for people to attempt to attack as opposed to actually successfully attack. Back to the Apple conversation, you know, I think actually from my perspective as a defender, I see us as one blue team. Mm-hmm. So we're more like partners in an ecosystem to try and protect ourselves from the attackers as opposed to, you know, that competitive spurt, right? Mm-hmm. Although that does exist, right?
What is the average time for an organization to figure out that they have been compromised? Is that a number increasing?
So it's around about 200 days, but it does depend on which report that you're reading. In our last digital defense report, we actually saw that decreasing slightly, which I think is good news. And that may have something to do with the fact that we're starting to tie signal together into something that we can get that visibility of what the attackers are doing very quickly over that platform and really what we call intelligent signal gathering and what we do with that information. Mm-hmm. Having said that, it's still not good. You know, really we want to be in a position whereby we're very quickly detecting what the attackers are doing something and then automating the response to that attack rather than waiting for us as investigators, you know, which is my past, to be able to find out what the attacker's done, where he's gone. And really let's use the, I'm going to give it away now, but let's use the power of machine learning and AI to basically help us augment our human intelligence to be able to very quickly decide what people are doing.
The scary number that I heard, about 75 trillion signals a day, is that correct?
That is correct. I you know, sometimes you see us talk about 65 trillion signals. Think about it, 2.5 years ago, we were probably around the 6.3 trillion signal mark. So that's a huge jump in the 2.5 years. Again, that's, you know, as we acquire new companies, as we bring in new data sets, for example, as we start to bring in signal from our data centers through the acquisition of CyberX. Now called Defender for IoT, because by the way, we do like to change all the names. But essentially, as we bring in those signal sets, that's just going to keep on going up. So we're actually talking about 90 trillion signals now. But what's a few trillion amongst friends, right?
When those devices are contracting with multiple companies, this means, of course, the risk of loopholes, backdoors, and inconsistencies that hackers can exploit. Are Windows products more vulnerable than its competitors, or the blue team, as you say, or is that perception and perception only?
Well, I think of it as perception. Of course, I would say that. But one of the things that we do is we have the second Tuesday of every month that we have a patching cycle for that our MSRC does. But we also follow a CVE reportable disclosure format. Which means that sometimes the perception is the fact that we're releasing quite a few vulnerabilities. But again, we have a procedure for us to be finding these vulnerabilities. So if we, you know, if for example we weren't looking, we wouldn't find them, right? Mm-hmm. I will say that you know, the fact that that it is sometimes, well, oftentimes it's really difficult for people to be able to update their machines for reasons, you know. that are difficult to do. And it's one of the reasons why we've now gone to what we refer to as a evergreen model for Windows. So literally, let's update it, patch it every 4 hours, let's get it out there. So think about the power of the cloud and the scalability of the cloud, giving us the ability to very quickly bring this information together, but also very quickly to update. So that continuous assessment.
Many of the core functions of a Microsoft PC device are via third-party apps. There is no guarantee that there is some standardization and some well-defined cohesion to be found between those third-party companies. That means security measures for each one of those applications could all be different. One application might be nearly impenetrable. Another could have practically no firewall in place whatsoever, making Microsoft users, often companies, an easy target for malware and other cyber attacks. Would you agree?
I think that may have been true once. I'm not saying it's completely incorrect. I think, again, back to the platform approach, these days it's almost incomprehensible for somebody to think about, you know, if you think about how we used to design applications, you had to design everything, even the operating system underneath it, right? So the fact that we now have platforms that people can extrapolate and instantiate over the top of those really gives us the ability to be able to bake security in where it's required. Mm-hmm. So from a modernization perspective and going forward, I think that's going to get better.
Mm-hmm. Last year, Microsoft completed its $19.7 billion acquisition of conversational artificial intelligence expert Nuance Communications. With the acquisition, which is Microsoft's largest since it bought LinkedIn in 2016 for $26 billion, the company aims to expand its cloud services for healthcare. Why healthcare? Isn't that thin ice regarding cybersecurity? Everybody knows that healthcare data is precious, and many of the life-altering machines in hospitals and care homes are easy to hack.
Agreed, and I think you've just answered that question, right? Because we see ransomware actors actually going after hospitals because it's very likely that they're going to get the monies that they've requested, the extortion demands, paid for, because it's life-critical now. Similarly, we've seen the attackers going after other safety-critical systems. So, you know, what we need to be doing as an industry, in fact, as a country and as the world, if you like, is thinking about how we put those protection mechanisms into place. So you're right, data, especially healthcare data, very sensitive. Funnily enough, it's the data today that's actually funding, if you like, this AI explosion. So if we think about putting the security controls around the data, then that helps us make sure that the artificial intelligence, machine learning over the top of it is secure as well.
Mm-hmm. For Microsoft, cloud security, especially around your cloud computing service, Azure, is paramount. What is at stake regarding the Azure safety level on a daily basis?
It's certainly something that keeps us awake at night. Obviously, there's an awful lot of security controls that go into place. If you're thinking of the defense industry, the similar sort of controls that they would put in place, you know, as part of their remit to secure the planet or defend the planet anyway, is ours as well. So we monitor for it. We make sure those controls are in place proactively. If there is something that we detect through that monitoring, then of course we respond to it. We take a principled approach to responding to these things. But also I think, you know, we practice for it. So if you think about how the cloud is designed, as the cloud designed, you know, we want to be thinking about how we can practice our response to something that goes wrong. That's not necessarily just from a security perspective. That's from a...
What does it take to protect a premium service like Azure from a premium global corporation, like yours? An army of thousands of people at headquarters? And then again, in each country, another army to fend off new potential threats?
We do have 8,500 security people who do this for a living, right?
8,500.
8,500, yeah. And of course, you know, we're a global company, so we have a follow the sun model. So we have our, if you think of our Cyber Defense Operations Center as our SOC for Microsoft, that is a follow the sun model. We have that in three different places around the world. You know, it's, again, about the practice, about the signals that we've seen. So if you think about also the fact that we have very heavily infused AI, ML, SEC operations, what we're allowing the machine learning to do is really be that first layer of defense. So allowing our human, our humans, our sophisticated humans who've got, you know, perhaps lots and lots of expertise, to basically focus on what matters instead of focusing on just the daily grind.
And looking at technology, there are two important drivers: information technology, IT, and operational technology, OT. Both share a common set of technologies, but these platforms differ greatly in operational lifecycle requirements, in potential life safety impact, and in security assurance requirements for confidentiality versus availability. How do you consider cybersecurity for each of them?
So I think there's a culture difference. You're completely correct. Obviously, there's a different life cycle for some of these technologies in the OT world. We talk about IT, OT, IIoT. You know, it's very confusing, right? So we really kind of break them down into two buckets, what we consider to be brownfield and then greenfield. If, for example, you look at Microsoft data centers, they're really greenfield because we've probably had them around, what, 17, 18 years now. Whereas some of the operational technology brownfield sites have been there for, you know, 20, 30 years, perhaps longer than that. Culturally, though, we know that the attackers move from one to the other, sometimes at will. So it's really about making sure that we get the signal in the right place to the right human to do something with it when we decide, when we discover that the bad guys are doing something.
Ga niet weg, want ik praat zo meteen verder met Leslie Kipling, Lead Investigator en Forensicator bij Microsoft, over de gevolgen van cyberattacks.
Vanuit Brussels Expo, op Business AM, CyberSec Europe.